I started last week a series of sermons that will take us to Easter. Yes, Easter is around the corner already. During the months of February and March, we're going to look at who we say we are and then see how that measures up to biblical teaching. It's good sometimes to take stock, to see where you're at, and ask yourself if there's something that you need to address in your life. I think this is a worthwhile practice. This is true for people, but it's also true for organizations and for churches like we are together. So we are looking at our purpose statement, the statement that declares who we are, so that we can assess whether we are who we say we are. It's as simple as that. So our purpose statement, just to remind you, our purpose statement says, can we advance the slide? There we are. Our purpose statement says this: at First CRC, we strive to be a loving community of Christian disciples who worship God faithfully, grow together intentionally, and serve our neighbors wholeheartedly. So any self-assessment, of course, needs a level of openness and maturity in order to work. If you get defensive about these things, it gets you, ties you up into all kinds of knots. So I also ask that you put yourself into that place of humility, of listening, and of learning. Perhaps setting aside or holding less tightly that which you've made up your mind about. And this is what we're called to, I think, every time we open God's Word. Because while we read God's Word to see what it says, God's Word also reads us. To see where we are at with God and with each other and in our journeys of life and faith. Now, this can be an encouraging process, confirming what we already believe, or it can be a bit of a painful process, poking and prodding us to change some things in our lives, some things that might need work. But we know that God is patient and loving and gracious and kind, so He gives you that time to work that out. He gives you a lifetime, in fact, to do this, to grow in wisdom and to grow into Him, to be more like Christ. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the words to be a loving community. We're going to limit ourselves to that. I think that's a big enough bite that'll keep us busy. Before we do that, let's just, again, it helps me to just put myself into that place. So let's pray. Father, Your Word is Your Word. It's not my word, so help me to speak it faithfully. Help us, help me to be a listener as well as a speaker this morning. Help all of us to listen, to bow down, to be humble, to be not to be defensive or, but to be open to hear You, to let Your Spirit lead us. So speak to us this morning, we pray, wherever we're at in our lives. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. To be a loving community. Don't worry, we are going to base this on Scripture. It'll come as I speak. To be a loving community, it is tempting to buy into the vision that the Beatles put out there about love. I think you know the one. All you need is love. It's a 1960 songs. I know which guys are from that era now because I saw your head bopping. And some of the younger people, I'm hoping that some of the younger people at least may have known this as well. I think it has staying power, that song. The Beatles have kind of stuck around. In a way, It presents an appealing picture, an appealing vision of love. Love is blind. Love conquers all. A warm blanket to cover every heart that is cold. Free and easy. Love is the answer to all of the world's problems. All you need is love. Makes you just kind of want to bop along. I've heard it expressed by non-Christians looking into the church from the outside that if only Christians could be more loving. I've heard it too from Christians themselves that they walk away from churches because of, whether perceived or real, a lack of love. If only, they say, if only Christians in church could be more like the Beatles' version of love, then I might consider going. Then I would come back. Can you relate to that? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever thought it? Have you ever nursed those kinds of thoughts? And as we, as a denomination, as a Christian Reformed Church, are talking about the HSR, the Report on Human Sexuality, those rumblings, that sentiment is strong. To be a loving community, all we need is love. Love is all we need. All we need is love. Let's just sing that and go home. See, it's tempting, isn't it? And so looking at this statement is a very timely exercise. And I thought, why did I start this? Why did I step into it? But I can't avoid it. It's the next part of that statement. And so what do we say? How do you address that? A loving community. What? The Bible is all about love. It's a story of God's love. For God, you've heard it before. And our first passage this morning speaks directly into this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So simple. So clear. All we need is love. And it's repeated in verses 11 and 12 of the same passage. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And again, these words seem to echo the Beatles' vision of love. But we must not forget what is written in between those two verses. Verses 9 and 10, because it is verses 9 and 10 that provide some nuance here. Verses 9 and 10, I think, are the glue in a way that keep the instructions to love one another together. Verse 9, This is how God showed his love among us, says verse 9. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. John 3:16. It's the same thought. And then verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Notice what's going on here. Verses 9 and 10 give some shape, some definition to what love is. And in defining it, verses 9 and 10 distinguish it. It sets it apart from the Beatles kind of love. God's love, it says in effect, stands in contrast to the love that the world offers. God's love is perfect. It's life-giving. It is sacrificial. And it flows out of the very nature of God, who He is. We talk about God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know if you caught it. If you caught that Trinitarian vibe of that verse, God loves us. So He sends His Son, the second person of the Trinity, who willingly in obedience offers to pay for our sins. And then He sends His Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to live in us, to bind us together in the embrace of God's love. I don't know if you saw that, but it was all there in that verse, in those verses. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect love. Now, contrast this to the world's love. The world's love, painted as free and easy, you know, it wasn't a mistake, I'm not dyslexic, is distorted. The world's love is distorted by sin and selfishness and brokenness. No longer is it the free and easy promise held out by John Lennon and the Beatles, but it is blurred and twisted in many ways. Now, the older ones here, I won't ask you to raise your hands, will remember a place called Woodstock. I'm curious. Never mind. Woodstock, for the younger people, if you don't know, it was kind of a 1960s love fest. And I don't want to say too much about that because all kinds of things happened there. They all went on a big camp out and some of them forgot whose tent was who, and it was just quite something. Now, the 60s love fest that gave rise to the sexual revolution. Love free and easy and without boundaries. It is a matter of debate how much it influenced much of current obsessions with sex, pornography, and the sex trade. When you give free rein, things happen. All in the pursuit of love. Another stark example of distorted love in community are the various versions of David Koresh. Do you remember David Koresh? Waco, Texas, maybe that rings a bell. This messianic kind of figure, he lured people to come and live in this compound. And many innocents went there with the promise of acceptance and belonging and love. You remember that? And then it ended up in a terrible tragedy, of course. The whole compound blew up into this fireball. Was it the ones where they poisoned themselves? They all drank the poison. It was the fire. Okay. I'm getting my stories mixed up here. Now, if you're too young to remember David Koresh or Waco, Texas, then there's a very current example as well. If I mention Andrew Tate, a professional kickboxer turned influencer. If you're at all watching the news, you see kind of the sordid mess that happened there, where he turned loving adoration from his fans into this trap of human trafficking and Well, the fact is, the Beatles' vision of free and easy love is a dream shattered by a broken reality. Love that too easily degenerates into various versions of lust, obsession, codependency, abuse, commodification, big word for the selling of love and sex, power, the abuse of power in what are supposed to be loving relationships, and the blind pursuit of satisfying the good God-given desire to love and to be loved, and turning it into self-love, narcissism. The point is here, love alone, all you need is love. Love alone hasn't led to a world full of satisfied whole human beings, nor to world peace. Yes, Pastor, I hear some of you say, but wasn't it Jesus himself who said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another"? Yes, you are right. He did say that. And Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." I hope you see kind of the tension. So now we are called to discern how to live that and how to love that, how to love rightly. And I think that that brings us to our second passage this morning, Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. To be a loving community that we aim to strive for in our purpose statement is part of growing together in maturity, according to the Bible. Speaking the truth in love, explains Paul in his letter to the church at Ephesus, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Speaking the truth in love, and I would emphasize living the truth in love. Because Jesus made it very clear to the Pharisees that their greatest failure was hypocrisy. They spoke truth but didn't live it. Truth and love. Biblically, these are inseparable in the reality of a broken world. Indivisible in a broken world. You can't have one without the other. You can't simply live and love and ignore truth. And you can't just speak the truth and sprinkle on a little love. Like hagelslag on a beschuitje. Or chocolate shavings on your cappuccino. Because love thrives in the soil of truth. And truth is rooted in the gift of sacrificial love. You see how these are intricately tied up together. Now, some of us are naturally inclined to be loving and feeling, while others of us are given to latch on to rules and truthing. So it requires that all of us are convicted by the words of Jesus, and all of us need to bow humbly before him when he says, Do you want to be my disciple? Then learn to love truly. And learn to live truth lovingly. Love one another. And hold to my teaching. This is what my gathered community looks like. Some of you may have heard of a writer theologian named C.S. Lewis. Anybody here? C.S. Lewis. He wrote many books, and I can recommend all of them. So if you're looking for a new read, you pick up any book by C.S. Lewis. It's a bit of a chew. Maybe not something beside the pool on your holiday, but the most fun ones I've listed there, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Screwtape Letters, also fun, but deep as well, because it makes, anyway. C.S. Lewis also noted how the world's notion of love falls short of the biblical teaching about love. Love, in the Christian sense, he said, does not mean an emotion. Feel good. It is a state not of the emotions but of the will. That state of the will which we have naturally about ourselves and must learn to have about other people. Now, even that, the quote, I love the quote, but even there I say, even C.S. Lewis hasn't fully grasped the brokenness of sin in the world and the effect that it can have even on us, because it says that we naturally have about ourselves. There's many people who reach the point of suicide. So how much love do they have for themselves? And their struggle is deep and it's real. And so I think it goes even deeper. Yes, we naturally tend to want to live and take care of ourselves. But even that sometimes we lose. We can't even... How many people struggle to love themselves? Now, the words will and learn are rarely, if ever, used in any discussions about love. But they ought to be, because love is not free and easy. Love is not automatic in a broken world. Yes, God's love is perfect. God's love is perfect. But ours is far from that. It's distorted, blurred by sin and selfish need and desire. And so we must will to learn to love truly, like Jesus loved, and as God prescribes, and as the Spirit teaches us. And this not just inwardly, only for ourselves, but in an outward direction as well. Again, C.S. Lewis. Love is not affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be obtained. Now, you could chew on that all afternoon. And I guess I wish that he would have said this a little stronger, too. Who am I? I'm taking issue with C.S. Lewis. But I wish he could have said it a little bit stronger. Not a steady wish as if you were wishing upon a star, but a firm commitment, a pledge for another person's good, I think would be stronger. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20, verse 35. And in the spirit of Jesus, not to be served, but to serve, Matthew 20, 28. And this, make no mistake about it, will require something of you. If we, at first, are serious about striving to be a loving community, The truth we profess will need to be lived out in love. Christian community, a love rooted in truth and truth lived out in love, is to make yourself available. It is to risk yourself and to make yourself vulnerable. And here's a big one. And it takes us back to 1 John 4, that first passage. It means to sacrifice. One last time, C.S. Lewis. I didn't put it up this time, so you're going to have to listen. C.S. Lewis says, "There is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact," says Lewis, "you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal." Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, he says, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable, beyond saving. The alternative, he says, to tragedy. And what does he mean by tragedy? Well, tragedy is hiding love under a bushel or divorcing it from the truth. So the alternative to that is damnation. This gets heavy, doesn't it? The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. If you're in hell, you don't need to worry about love and sacrificial love. Love. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, perfect, whole, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. To be a loving community, people first, love truly and sacrificially. Or you can simply walk away from the Bible's call to be church and walk into a free and easy version of love. The choice is yours. Are you still with me? We've said a lot, and a lot of what we've said is heavy. I hope I haven't overwhelmed you. But to finish, I want to recap so that we get the main points, that those main points sink from our head into our heart. Because unless it's in your heart, unless you walk out with it here today, unless you start living it, none of this matters. At First CRC, we strive to be a loving community. A loving community. This is who we are because of God's love for us. Are the colors okay? Can you read that? Those of you who are starting to have eye problems. A loving community, it's who we are because of God's love for us. A loving community. His perfect love moves us, compels us, we can do no other but to love one another. A loving community. Loving one another is not easy, despite what John Lennon says. It's not something that just happens. When you become a Christian, you can't just sit in your lazy boy and say, okay, God, do your thing. To be a loving community involves our will and a willingness to learn and to listen. If you're going to tell everybody how it is, with your fingers in your ears, a loving community involves commitments to both love and truth. Amen. To be a loving community is a journey of growing in maturity into the fullness and the wholeness that Christ offers. 1st Church, are you ready to be a loving community as biblically taught? Are we ready to do what it takes? Now, I know that I haven't had a lot of time here for some practical advice, and so I've prepared some handouts. Rebecca and I will be standing at the end as you go out. So there's some practical advice as to how you can live this out. So please pick up one of those sheets. I think there's probably like one for family or whatever. There's enough, and if we don't have enough, we'll make more. All right? So on your way out, don't forget that. We'll be there. And take that home and read it this afternoon with a pot of tea. We'll be back next week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we live rightly only in your love. So love us. Thank you for loving us. And help us to take your love and to turn it outward. And maybe, first of all, to turn it inward if we have difficulty loving ourselves. May we grow more and more like Christ and serve others more and more like Christ served others and gave himself completely to others. Transform us as a church, as individuals, to love you wholeheartedly.